Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Matthew 6 verse 9, the pattern for prayer. In this manner, therefore pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we look once again in this passage, we remind you that last Sunday we saw the Lord Jesus. It is the Lord Jesus who gives us the most precious and useful lessons in prayer. He is also the greatest example to prayer. We read those verses where a great while before day he went out into a solitary place and there prayed. We read that as night came and the disciples went to sleep, Jesus departed into a mountain and prayed all night. Before Jesus chose the 12, he had called them, of course, to himself, but before he chose them, the Bible said he was up all night in prayer talking to the Father before he came off the mountain and called Peter and James and John and Matthew and Andrew and so on to himself. He's the greatest example of prayer. He could say, Father, I thank you that you hear me and that you hear me always. It means he was always in prayer. He was constantly in fellowship with his Father. He is praying for us right now. The Bible says he ever lives to make intercession for us. If you were in a room and you were going to be questioned by somebody or you had to face a situation, but you knew that in the very next room, your Lord Jesus was praying for you, would that make a difference in your strength and your confidence? In our text, the Lord shows us this pattern for prayer that pleases God, is in perfect agreement with his will, and if prayed sincerely from the heart, not according to these words, but necessarily, but according to the meaning, what you're asking for, you can know that it is something that God wants to give you. As 1 John chapter 5 says, and listen to this close, it's amazing. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. We know that the answer is going to be on its way. The answer is going to come. He will hear us. This pattern for prayer accords with the will of God. It includes the things that please God when we pray them sincerely from our heart. Last Sunday, we saw how that prayer starts with a relationship with God. We're saying, Our Father. There's a relationship there. I must be his child. And how am I his child but through my Lord Jesus Christ, whom he sent to be the propitiation for my sins, to bear the judgment and penalty of my sins, to bear the hell, eternal hell, that my sins deserve. And so it's through Jesus that I come to the Father. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So as I come to him, I say, Our Father, the Father and God of my Lord Jesus Christ, co-equal and co-eternal with you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I come to you in the name of Jesus, because of the righteousness and the atonement of Christ. I come to you in the power of his blood, being made one with you. You're my Father, and I'm your child, Our Father. The pattern for prayer accords with the will of God. And so it starts with this relationship with God through our Savior. God must be our Father and we must be his child. And that's where true prayer begins. The Bible says when we were saved, the Bible says it twice, we receive the Holy Spirit of God who cries out. The first thing he does is teach us how to pray. Teach us, get us to pray. And he cries out of this, Abba, Father. His Spirit within us says, Abba, which is like the old Hebrew term for what they would call their daddy. Abba, Father, Abba. And so we must be his child. And we continue now with this first line. Only two words again today. not our Father, but in heaven. In heaven. What does this mean, our Father in heaven? Why is our Father said to be in heaven? The Scripture tells us that He's present everywhere. The Scripture says, behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. And David in Psalm 139 said, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. And then again, the Scripture says, can anyone hide himself in the secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, says the Lord. So, but He said here to be in heaven. What does it mean? Isn't He everywhere? Yes, He's everywhere. When we pray, Jesus wants us to see the lesson here that God is far above all creation, far above the universe, far above all the change and chaos and circumstances, far above all the corruption we're surrounded by. He's in a place where temptation cannot enter, where no lie can enter, where there's no sin, there's no weariness, there's no pain, there's no suffering, because all those things are a result of sin. And so He's far above all that we're surrounded by. And Jesus tells us to say our Father in heaven because we're to see that as we come to God, He's absolutely sovereign over all things. He is sovereign in power. He's almighty. He's infinite in power, infinite in wisdom. He's in absolute control over everything. He sees and rules His entire universe from the highest throne, and He orders all events for His glory and for our good. When we wonder why we have tears or a broken heart, a lot of times that's what we needed. A lot of times the salt of our tears is what kills the worm of sin. And when we pray, He wants us to see this, that God is high above everything and orders all things for His glory and our good. When we pray, we're to see that God is high above all majesty. There is none higher than He. He's in the highest glory. In other words, His holiness is heavenly. His glory is heavenly. His reign is from the highest heaven. There is no higher position than His. He sees everything at all times and is in total control. And when we pray, Jesus wants us to see that God sees and hears everything from His highest place. The Scripture says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. There is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we must give an account. His viewpoint is perfect. It is clear, is undimmed. Sometimes we cannot see the forest from the trees, but God sees all things perfectly and pure. When the survival guide teaches you, if you're lost in the forest, try to find your way up a hill, and up on a hill, try to find your way up the tree, and then you'll find your way out. You'll find your way out. The Lord is telling us to not only seek the face of God as our Father, but to seek Him as the one who is all-powerful, almighty, to help us from His highest heaven. We can't see the forest from the trees, but God sees it all, and He's always seen it. We are to come to God as His little children, our Father. And we are to see Him as far higher and far wiser and far more powerful than any enemies we encounter, especially man. All our trials, He's greater than. All our needs, He is able to meet. And all our weaknesses, He's more than sufficient to be our strength. Paul said, for when we are weak, then are we strong. Jesus is telling us to come to God with a childlike affection, a trusting faith, a strong belief that our Heavenly Father is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. When God opened up the Red Sea for the children of Israel, the Bible says they walked across on dry ground. It wasn't mushy, it wasn't damp, it was dry. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. One of my favorite places in Exodus where it says the sea, then after He parted it, it congealed. It had to be parted 2 miles wide for 3.5 million Jews to get across in the time that they would need to take to get across there. In other words, it was congealed. It was like jello. You could reach into the sea and it grab a clump of it out. and they walked through on dry ground. What an amazing miracle. The Lord is telling us to not only seek God's face this way as our Father, but as our Father is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing He cannot do. For nothing shall be impossible with God. I remember Betty quoting that at the VA not too long ago, saying, with God, nothing's impossible. That's Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. We used to sing that song, and Connie reminded me of it a while back. We'd sing in Sunday school, remember? My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are His, the valleys are His, the stars are His handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. So remember, when you come to God, you're coming into a relationship. He's my daddy, I'm His child. And remember when we would go to school? Well, my dad has a .22. Well, my dad has a shotgun. Well, my dad can do this. My dad can do that. Hey, our dad can create everything out of nothing. Our daddy can send a thunderstorm and make a little kitten at the same time. Amen. Our God can make a little puppy that just causes us to laugh. At the same time, He causes a great earthquake on the other side of the world. He's so strong, so mighty, so wonderful, so loving and tender, and so powerful. Now, we've seen what we mean by in heaven. A little bit, I have a little bit more at the end that actually, I was thinking about Jim and, hi, good morning. And Betty and everything. I said, you know, this has an application there too. So the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart about that. Number two, encouragements to faith in prayer. Why should we have this great faith in God who's in heaven and almighty, all wonderful, seeing everything all at once, knowing the future from the past? Encouragements to faith in prayer. Number one, God is always ready and willing to hear the prayers of His people. He's always ready and always willing. You know, if you were a storekeeper, one thing you would love is your returning customers. You know, you get to know them better. They get to tell you, you know, I like this kind of Coke better, the Diet Vanilla Coke. Can you order some of that? Oh, you're more than happy to. You want to see them again. But the more that they come to do business with you, the more you like them. The more you appreciate Him. And so God loves for His children to constantly come to Him, to constantly fellowship with Him, to constantly let their requests be made known unto Him. The more you come, the more invited you are. God never gets tired of you praying. You can't think, oh, you're probably tired of me confessing this. You're probably tired of me wanting this. You're probably tired of me constantly begging you for things. No, He loves it. He loves it. He loves the more His children come, the more He loves it. Amen. And so the thing is, you know, it's like one of the keys to prayer, and it's funny how God used it for me, is we used to have ducks around a little pond at school. And I would get little pieces of bread or some popcorn. Yeah, ducks are smart. They love popcorn. And I should have charged them, but then they would have told me, just put it on my bill. But but I would go and feed them. And, you know, I liked the shy little ones. And some of them had more beauty. Some of them had more, how would you say, different kinds of designs and flower designs and beauty to them, colors. And I wanted them to have some popcorn, so I'd toss it out there to where they are. But the ones that got the most popcorn were the big white ones with little marks here and mud all over this and that and the other. And they'd come up just quack, 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 quack. Now the other ones in the background, I'd give a little bit to, but these guys up in the front, they were stepping on my feet. They were telling me, please give me that, give me that, give me this, give me that. And so they got the majority of all the bread. They got the majority of all the popcorn. And it wasn't because they were more beautiful. It wasn't because they were more nice. It wasn't because they were less demanding. They were very demanding. It's because they were close to me. And they kept asking and kept asking. I was wondering if this one male duck was going to ever get full. And he kept getting the lion's share of everything. The important thing about prayer is not how eloquent your words are. Not the color of eloquence that you add to your prayers. It's the getting close and being bold, being confident, and asking Him for what you want. Asking Him for what you need. Asking Him to fulfill His promises to you. And that type of Christian will get more answers to prayer than the one that says, "Oh Lord, I come to you on this beautiful, dark, and stormy night with the stars all aflutter and the air full of the angels' tinkle dust and everything like that." No. Remember Peter when he walked on the water to Jesus? Peter says, "Lord, if that's you, bid me come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come on, Peter." Peter got off the boat, started walking on the water, said, "Woohoo, look at me go." And the lightning cracked the sky. He said, he started getting afraid and he started to sink. Now what if Peter had prayed like some of these guys do in some of these churches? "Lord, I come to you walking on the ocean, the Sea of Galilee, on the beautiful," glub, 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 he would have sunk. But instead he said, "Lord, save me." And immediately, the Bible says, Jesus reached out and grabbed Peter, saved him. Now, wouldn't you rather just reach out and, "Lord, do this," and get an answer to prayer, than flitter around the edges, "Lord, I don't understand about all the angels and these wonderful things." No. Pray. Come to Him and pray. Be like that little duck at the pond that comes up squawking and honking and crying. You know, Philip's been talking about the raven that's been around his house, this raven family. The Bible says God is so tender and compassionate in prayer that He hears the cries of the ravens. And let me ask you something, Philip. Do they sing pretty like the meadowlarks? Do they sing? My favorite bird in the world. And they're like the American nightingale. Nightingales are from Europe. And they'll sing all night. And they're usually from the thorn bushes. It's a mockingbird. I love mockingbirds, because wherever their nest is near a light, you can hear them sing all night long. And mockingbirds know how to pick up the songs of the other birds, the meadowlarks, the sparrows, the wrens. They pick up their songs. They also pick up the sound of a neighborhood cat who goes meowing around at night. You'll hear a mockingbird, you swear it's a cat. Meow, meow. They'll pick up the sounds of car alarms. Chip, 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 chip. They pick up all these sounds, and it's amazing how they can remember and mimic them. Well, God says He feeds the ravens that cry like a, "Ah! Ah!" Right, Philip? He hears their cries. You don't have to be pretty and flowery and eloquent. "Oh, but Brother Ross, I'd pray, but I don't know how to pray. I don't know the right words." You pray like you would talking to your daddy. Now, you didn't have any trouble saying, "Daddy, can I borrow the car?" You didn't have any problem saying, "Oh, Dad, may I sit at the dinner table and partake of a meal with you?" No, you just sat down and started eating. Right? And prayer is not any magic words. It's talking to your heavenly daddy. And He's lovely and He's gracious. He's slow to anger. He's abundant in kindness. Nehemiah used these words in Nehemiah 9:17. "You are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness." Again, the scripture says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and His ears are open to their cry." Why does God command us to pray continually, to not lose heart in prayer, to pray always, if He did not love to hear and answer prayer? Why all the stories in the Bible? Why all the promises of the Bible about God hearing and answering our prayers? The precious Lord Jesus prays over our prayers again with us. This is the second encouragement. You don't know how to pray, but you pray. God promised to hear you. And not only use your prayers go up to Him, but Jesus takes them. And Jesus makes them more, intense and faithful and more believing, more acceptable to the Father. As He said, the Bible says He prays over our prayers again. The altar of incense before the holiest place that represented the presence of God himself behind the veil. When the high priest took the incense there, it represented the prayers of the people. And he burned it before the holy presence. Jesus is our high priest who takes our prayers and makes them as beautiful incense before his Father. In Revelation, you'll remember we talked about this in Sunday school. The angel took the golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's children. Another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of God's children upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of God's children ascended before God from the angel's hands. God, Jesus takes our weak little, cold little, feeble little prayers and he makes them as a beautiful fragrance, a beautiful aroma before the Father. He prays over our prayers. And so, it matters not how good you can pray, but that you trust in Jesus from your heart to make you acceptable to God, that he'll take your weakness and give you strength, that he'll take your feebleness and give you energy, and so on. God is pleased to give us good things. That's our third encouragement. God is pleased to give us good things. Jesus said, if any of your sons ask for a piece of bread, will you give him a stone? If he asks for an egg, will you give him a serpent? If he asks for a fish, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, being sinners, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? God loves and is pleased to give us good things. You say, I want a clean and holy heart, Pastor. I do too. And if we'll ask God for it, the Bible says, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. God will hear your prayer. A heart full of love for Jesus. Father, that I love Jesus more. Oh, that pleases me. I'll give you more love for Jesus. Father, I want to know what it is to walk in the Holy Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I want a life that's walking in fellowship with the sweet Holy Spirit of God. Amen. That pleases me. You can have it. Do you really mean it? If you really mean it, if you're sincere, if it's from your heart, God will give it to you. God has given us an abundance of, the Bible calls, exceeding great and precious promises. The scripture says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Amen. Another thing he says is God's telephone number, we used to call it. Jeremiah 33:3, the line's never busy. God always answers. You know, he doesn't give you a voicemail thing for you to give him because he's too busy for you. No, it's God's telephone number, Jeremiah 33:3, where God says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. And Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Again, the scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Another encouragement to prayer is this. The Lord Jesus has already purchased what you pray for. It's already bought. Remember this old preacher, Dr. John R. Rice. He was like a grandfatherly figure, and he preached a lot on prayer. But I remember he said he woke up troubled one morning. They said, what troubled you? He says, did some calamity happen in your dream? He said, kinda. I dreamed that I died and went to heaven. And that an angel, on my way to the mansion, there were all these doors. And I asked the angel, I said, what are all these doors? He said, you don't want to know. He said, no, I do want to know. He said, behind each of those doors are all these presents. Some silver wrapped with black ribbon, some gold with red ribbon. He said, well, what is that about? Those were all the things you could have had if you had only prayed for them. Those were all the gifts that Jesus had purchased for you, but you didn't ask. You were too busy with this, trying to solve that. I was stressed under this circumstance and so on. And I thought that was an amazing dream to have. The Lord Jesus has purchased what you pray for. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him give us all things? You know, God has already given us the greatest jewel. He's given us the most beautiful diamond, the most beautiful ruby or emerald, the most precious thing he could give us in his son. And if he's given that to you, it would be like your husband giving you a beautiful ring. You say, oh, husband, this is so beautiful. Look at all the rainbow of colors in it in the light. This is so gorgeous. Oh, can I have the box to keep it in for when I wash the dishes so I don't mess up my ring? And your husband said, no, you can't have the box. Well, that would be silly of your husband, wouldn't it? Here you are, you have the jewel. Here you are, you have the precious ring. But he won't give you the box. Your Heavenly Father has already given you Jesus. How shall he not with him also freely give you all things? Amen. If he's given you his son, that means he'll give you the other things that please him to give you, that are good for you. And that'll help you be more like Jesus. And then another encouragement. Believe me, I'm getting ready to land the plane. Hang on here. God often gives us more than we ask for. Remember Hannah in 1 Samuel? She prayed for a son. Her womb was barren and she prayed and prayed. Eli, the high priest, noticed her. And he said to her, okay, God will bless you. You have the answer to your prayer. You can go home now. She not only received a son, her son became a great prophet. I can remember my grandmother praying for me to get saved. And then after God saved me, he called me to preach. She said, you know, just seeing you saved was a miracle enough. You were a wicked little snake in the grass. When God saved you and made you his little lamb, he said, that was enough for me. But now he's called you to preach. That's icing on the cake. Well, Hannah not only received a son, her son became a great prophet and became a judge over Israel. He anointed Saul to be the first king. He anointed David, to a man after God's own heart, to be another king. So here's Samuel. He's a son. He becomes a great prophet, a priest, and a judge. He's the anointer of the first kings of Israel. He's the founder of the school of God's prophets, who later Elijah and Elisha would be in that school. She received much more than she asked for. Solomon, when given a choice in his dream, what he wanted, he said, Lord, just give me the wisdom to lead your great people, Israel. God only gave him great wisdom, more than that of any man who ever walked the earth, except our Lord Jesus, of course. He gave him great riches. His horses drank from solid gold troughs. Silver was accounted like the dirt in the road. He had the greatest zoo. He had the greatest gardens. He had the greatest musicians. He had the greatest everything. God gave him so much more than he asked for. Lastly, great things come in answer to prayer. What was it that caused the sun to stand still in the days of Joshua as they were fighting the great battle? Joshua prayed. And so the Bible says the sun ceased working or using its gravity field to rotate the earth. Gideon and his 300 had a victory over about 250,000 enemies with 300 men. Elijah prayed that the rain would cease for 3.5 years, and it ceased. And the Bible says he prayed again. And boy, did he pray down a storm. Daniel in the lion's den, where the lions were so hungry they didn't touch him. So how do you know they were so hungry? Because when they brought Daniel out of the lion's den and they pushed his enemies in, what happened? The lions ate them before they ever touched the ground. Not one of them touched the ground. They were so hungry. Peter, when he was in prison and Herod was going to strike off his head, the gates of the prison opened and he was set free. And so we could go on and on about the answers to prayer. Great things come in answer to prayer. Are we believing? Do we have faith when we pray? Jesus said, when you pray for these things, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Thank God already for his answer. But do we really believe? So then as we approach the lesson here, our Father in heaven, is this. So then as we approach God in prayer, Jesus teaches us to come in faith as loving children to a loving Father who sees all things, who's in control of all things, has more than enough wisdom to give you, and who loves to hear and answer prayer. This is a part I wanted to end on. Sometimes we're stuck in a situation where the decision is so hard to make. We're troubled and circumstances don't look good and we're worried. We're afraid. Well, I believe this is another lesson in where it says, Our Father in heaven. And heaven is a place of perfect peace and tranquility. It's unraveled serenity. All is calm. On here, earth, we have chaos, we can have confusion, we have fear, we have stress and worry. But heaven is a place of perfect peace where God reigns and rules from the highest place. In other words, when you come to God in prayer, you may be worried, you may be afraid, you may be stressed. He's not. He's in control. He's at perfect peace. Everything's going according to his will. And if you would learn to be like that, our Father in heaven, I know you're at peace and you're calm, that nothing ever surprises you, that you care for me as your own dear child, that you know the situation, you know what's coming. I don't. The circumstances and the stress are bewildering to me. They're confusing me. My emotions are in chaos, but yours are not. And as we come to him that way, realizing that he's in heaven where everything is peace, tranquility, everything's under his control, then we can realize that as a part of our prayer. You're in heaven, God. Nothing surprising you. You know, we had a song that we would sing sometimes back when things were going tough. Everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. Jesus is the way to my Father's house, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Jesus is the way to my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. Amen. I won't burden you with the rest of the song, but we want to thank God that he's our Father. We're in relationship with him because Jesus is with us. We have him in our heart. Our Father, Father of my Lord Jesus, my heavenly Daddy, you're in heaven, and everything's all right in your house. In Jesus' name, amen.